Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. And our website is www.illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
We welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He's the managing director of M5 Sports. He's Brian Little's agent, Anton Thun. Anton, thanks very much for joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
My pleasure as always, guys.
First question, we have for you regarding the contract that your client Brian Little signed with the Winnipeg Jets. You know, push comes to shove. When push came to shove in this negotiations, what was the final piece to getting this deal done with the Jets?
Well, you know what? At the end of the day, I don't know if there was a final piece that you can define it as that. We had gone through a lengthy negotiation where we were received offers on term. Brian had, from day one, indicated that if at all possible, he'd like to stay in Winnipeg and have some term on the deal. And I don't think it's betraying anybody's confidence that with Winnipeg, we had indicated, and they had indicated to us that they'd like to do a 4 or 5 year deal for Brian, and we were open to that. So we filed for arbitration simply as part of the process. Arbitration would have only awarded a 1 year deal, and quite honestly, that would have been, I believe, an unsatisfactory result for both Brian and for the club, because they, both had indicated that they prefer to do something a little longer term. So at the end of the day, we agreed on the term, and I think that was done in the initial stages of the process, and really it came down to finalizing what that money would be on the term. And as typical in this type of situation, there's a disagreement, and at the end of the day, the arbitration process was really used more so as a time deadline to get a deal done rather than a threat of any kind.
And Anton, you talk about, term not really being a huge factor because you guys were thinking along the same lines. And that money, I think that it came out in terms of the briefs that were filed that you were seeking about 5.5 for your client, and for the Jets were seeking, I believe, 3.25. How did that 4.7 number come to be at the end of the day?
You know what? It really had nothing to do with either of the briefs, to be quite honest with you. It had more so to do with the exchange of information between myself and Larry Simmons, who was negotiating on behalf of the Jets. Throughout the whole process, and we were at a number, prior to that period of time, that was higher than 4.7, and they were at a number that was lower than 4.7, and on the Monday prior to the Wednesday deadline for the arbitration, after the briefs had been exchanged, and really I don't think that the brief exchange had anything to do with it. It was perhaps more so Sam Gagner's contract being finalized around that time as well that had a more significant impact that gave us a little bit a better read of what the marketplace was going to be. And that being the case, they came to us on that Monday morning. Larry Simmons did and proposed a new offer. I took it back to Brian. We had a discussion. We then went back to the Jets in terms of a limited no-trade proposal, which, with all due respect to the Jets, was fair, and they recognized it was fair, and they agreed to it, and then the deal got done. There was nothing acrimonious at all. It was just a business-like negotiation, guys.
That's great. It's good to hear. Anton, in terms of that no-trade clause, can you elaborate on what the specifics are on that?
Quite honestly, guys, I don't ever elaborate on contracts. The whatever information is out there publicly, is available publicly, and I don't really get into disclosing contractual terms in any discussions.
Even with you guys. we understand that. I respect that, Anton. You talked about the Sam Gagner contract. Is there a benefit for a player to have an arbitration hearing maybe a little bit later on, just so some of the other players can maybe set the market?
Well, I think so. I think in this case it was helpful simply because if you look at the historical records of Sam Gagner and Brian Little, mm-hmm. They're very, very similar. Now, they're probably very different people. I know Sam a little bit, and obviously I know Brian very well. And everybody, even though statistics can be the same, contributions can be different in different circumstances, and individual personalities can be different as well. And as you can see from Sam's contract, Sam agreed to a 3-year deal rather than a 5-year deal that Brian was comfortable with. That probably is a reflection of their personalities rather than their play, to be quite honest with you, because I would think that Sam would have probably been comfortable on a 5-year deal or some other kind of deal as well. But for him and for Edmonton, it worked out at 3 years. In Brian's case, Brian was comfortable with the environment in Edmonton or in Winnipeg and the players that he's playing with, and hopefully the growth of the team with some of the other young players coming in to lock himself in for 5 years, subject to the right to the Jets to trade him. But there are significant limitations on you know where they can trade him to that Brian was comfortable with agreeing to.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. We're joined by Anton Thun. He's Brian Little's agent. He's also the managing director of M5 Sports. Anton, in the course of your negotiations with Larry Simmons, as you mentioned, the Winnipeg Jets organization, the Jets were simultaneously conducting a negotiation with Blake Wheeler and, we presume, Zach Bogosian. Did the Jets sort of say, you know, we're looking to sign those guys long-term as well? Did that factor into your negotiations with the Jets?
No, you know what? My understanding is that's what they would like to do with both players as well. It only makes sense, but it really didn't, because we can't control what Blake Wheeler and Zach Bogosian choose to do. Each of them has their own rights, and Blake, as was the case with Brian, has the right to be an unrestricted free agent 1 year from now and may, in fact, decide to avail himself of that opportunity and move on. Now, he may decide to do a long-term deal with Winnipeg as well, but you know, we really can't make that decision for Brian based on the if come on other players.
Anton, Brian Little's, you know, a flexible player in that he can play wing if need be and has the speed and a pretty good shot. Did the Jets at all talk to you about the possibility of moving him there long-term, or they just strictly talked about him being the center on a go-forward basis?
No, the change of position never came into play. You know, Larry and I have had conversations, as have Chevy and I, on different scenarios in Winnipeg and slash Atlanta in the past many times. And quite honestly, in terms of goal scoring, Brian Little's strongest season was his second year in pro when he did play the wing with Todd White in Atlanta, and Slava Kozlov was a left winger. So he's capable of doing that, but I think right now, for the needs that the Winnipeg Jets have, I don't think I'm saying this out of context. They have needs down the middle that they probably could add to strength down the middle, rather than taking away. And if they move Brian to the wing, centermen are quality centermen are a highly sought after commodity and very difficult to find in the NHL these days. And moving a very competent centerman that has defensive skills and offensive skills and sort of blends into whatever role you really ask him to perform on the ice, those guys are difficult to find. And I think that's what Brian Little is.
Anton, we'll let you go on this last question. I mean, we've talked a lot on this show, just in general, talking about how the arbitration process can be quite contentious between two sides, and feelings have a tendency or can easily get hurt in the process. Sort of a two-part question. Have you ever been to arbitration with a client before? And if so, how do you prepare your client for that contentious process?
Well, yes, I've been to arbitration before many times. I've been in this industry for 30 years, so it ends up being a process that sometimes you have no choice but to take the club to arbitration. And listen, guys, I think the important thing that players need to understand, and we try to educate our clients, that arbitration is simply a process. Mm-hmm. It's part of the negotiation. You can use that as a tool in effort to set a target deadline as to when a deal needs to be struck, and hopefully that deal can be struck between the player and the club reasonably before the arbitration takes place. Sometimes that doesn't happen, and as a result of that, you do go to arbitration. I think both sides need to recognize that they need to be as professional and businesslike in arbitration as possible, because it could be a damaging process. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't need to be. The only time it ends up being a damaging process is when one or both parties decide that they want to use the process to hurt the other side. And I don't think that's a good decision in any case, because it just creates acrimony that is not necessary in the process. Arbitration is not designed to hurt anybody's feelings. It's designed to be a business-like process. And once it gets beyond that, then it can become detrimental.
Anton Thun, he's Brian Little's agent. He's also the managing director of M5 Sports. Thank you very much for joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
My pleasure, guys.
Take care. Thanks very much, Anton. Let's go to break. You're listening to TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.